We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me over there in Chicagoland, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good. I am just like the season, Ty. I'm building week upon week upon week. I'm getting my rhythms right. I'm getting my reps. I feel wonderful. Also, my cold brew hit particularly hard this morning.
It did. You sent, I would say, at least like a dozen Slack messages before I even logged on today. So that's
correct.
Usually a good indicator that the cold brew is doing its thing.
Yeah, also, the washed list continues to wash over me because I had a nice morning of lower back stretches, Ty. Mm. And when you get a couple of, when you jostle the lower back to start your day, good things are ahead. That's a life foundation I feel good about.
Welcome back to the show. Boys and girls, solidverbal.com, as always, is the website address. Go on out there. You can find everything you need to know about us, how to subscribe on Apple, on Google, on Spotify, on any of your podcast players. Subscribing is free. Reviewing is also free. We encourage you to do so if you like the show, because we do put 3 episodes out per week. Putting a lot of time in here as we round the corner into a fuller college football season, because the SEC is going to be joining up with the ACC and Big 12 and some of the other conferences this weekend as they get into their first week of action. We're going to preview all of that. It is week 4 here in the college football world.
Yeah.
I have not given much thought to what the name should be, but I keep coming back to the theme of the SEC now joining forces, kind of like riding sidecar. Help me out here.
Sidecar Saturday was your number one in reference to the SEC?
Well, because the car is already moving, and now they're just teaming up with the moving vehicle, hence the sidecar component.
I suppose it's more of things are being added. Things are being added. It's what happens when you go to like McDonald's and you supersize, Ty.
We had supersize Saturday.
We had a normal size Saturday in that there were games across the country.
Yes.
It wasn't the full size Saturday. And we're not fully there for sure. With the Big Ten announcing Pac-12 and Mountain West are meeting later on in the week. We're recording this Tuesday. They're supposed to meet Thursday to discuss a potential fall return. But in terms of what we've had already, we had some nuggies, Ty. We had maybe that little apple pie. but I think we're supersizing this Saturday. What do you think?
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. Supersize Saturday as the SEC starts to play its 2020 season. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter at solidverbal.com. Don't forget to check us out across all of our social channels on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and now YouTube. A lot of folks wondering, why don't you talk more about YouTube? YouTube, we're going to be putting a video out after we record this show.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, if you want more college football content, subscribe to our new podcast on the Solid Verbal Podcast Network. We call it Big Boy Bets affectionately here on the show on our little note sheet, just BBB.
Yeah.
B cubed, but Big Boy Bets with our good friend Jeff Schwartz, which you can find at bigboybets.show for more information.
Yeah, I'd say it's a brand for big ballers is what I would is how I would categorize Big Boy Bets. BBB. Okay. You want to get into some news? Do you want to get into any more? I mean, follow YouTube or subscribe to YouTube. You have specific instructions for what people should do once they get to youtube.com/thesolidverbal physically?
You just need to tickle that bell and subscribe and thumbs up button.
Thank
just
you.
Tickle it.
Tickle it. Okay. News?
We have breaking news!
Wow, you really dug deep for that. Beep, beep, beep.
You mentioned it at the top, Dan, but the Pac-12 and the MAC are both going to be meeting on Thursday discussing possible return to football. I do think it feels like a near certainty that this will happen for both of those conferences. Look, both were under fire, as was the Big Ten when they came out and made their announcements, probably much less so for the MAC and the Pac-12. But nonetheless, you make a move to try and postpone off the springtime. And yeah, they drew the ire of many in the sports world and political worlds and you name it. Now it seems as if, again, I'm not entirely sure what changed. Perhaps it's testing protocol, perhaps a number of other factors, but Pac-12, MAC, seems like they're going to be coming back. We're really just waiting for more certainty around timing.
Yeah, it appears, especially in the case of the Pac-12, because this doesn't fully apply with the Mountain West, it seems, with regard to the playoff and their announcement date, that the Pac-12 is looking at either a 6 or 7-game schedule, an all gas, no breaks, bangers only type situation that would start either Halloween or November 7th and conclude December 19th, doing the same championship weekend or championship slate that the Big Ten is doing, 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, and so forth. So it looks like the Pac-12 also looking to super duper size this season if they're able to move forward and get some presidential consensus. And we're hopeful for healthy Mountain West football as well.
Healthy Mountain West football and the MAC too.
Yeah, and the MAC. Yes, I should add the MAC as well.
Throw them all in there. So we'll see what happens as conferences look to opt back in. We have seen it be a bit of a mini theme that players are doing something similar. Rashad Bateman.
Yeah.
Coming back, baby. He has decided to opt back into the season. That's a boost for a Minnesota offense that, of course, lost its offensive coordinator to Penn State, but still has Tanner Morgan. Mm-hmm. They were going to lose their best receiver. Bateman figures to be a pretty high draft pick, but he's coming back, Dan. Good news for the Golden Gophers.
Good news for the Golden Gophers. Good news for the Big Ten. He is one of, if not the best, now returning receivers in the conference. And very cool to see, even though his draft stock seemed promising, and I don't fault anybody for opting out for health or draft reasons or anything else across whatever conference, but it is very cool to see somebody drawn back to the sport, even if it's just to improve their draft stock. I tend to believe the optimist in me. It's just they miss football with their friends, their brothers, whatever. And so I'm ecstatic for me as a football fan.
I'm ecstatic for me.
I'm ecstatic for me. I'm ecstatic for Gophers that Rashad Bateman is going to add his own brand of entertainment to the fall. So yeah, that's just my straight honesty, Ty. There it is.
In other news, we had Max Duggan, the TCU quarterback, who they found a heart condition, a little bit scary for him, was unclear for a while as to what his participation would be in this coming football season. He has been cleared to return just in time for the TCU opener this week against Iowa State. It does look as if sophomore Matthew Downing is going to get the start. He's a walk-on transfer from Georgia. I did look to see the point spread here. It does not look like it moved drastically in favor of Iowa State given this news, but good news for Max Duggan. You know, anytime you hear about the heart condition, that's scary.
Yeah,
he is cleared to return. I'm certain we will see him before long, but maybe not as starting quarterback in week one.
Yeah, we'll see. Gary Patterson was a little bit coy about if there was going to be a quarterback rotation. It's Duggan, Matthew Downing, who you mentioned. They have a junior college transfer, Stephon Brown, I believe his name is, and just said we have packages for all three. Didn't come out with the confidence, and I guess we can talk about more of it, that specific game of like, Matthew Downing is our guy. He's right, who we're counting on. Right. And understandably, Max Duggan's the returning starter, and he was just cleared. But that was the verbiage, the language used by Gary Patterson.
We do have other quarterback news that we'll get through as we actually start previewing games. Starters named at LSU and Alabama, and some questions around who's playing quarterback at Georgia. We'll get into that as we dive into the preview. Very quickly, though, the only other news tidbit I have here is that Hall of Famer Deion Sanders is returning to college football as head football coach at FCS Jackson State. I guess the most notable tidbit around this subject was that there was a fake coaching announcement made earlier today around who his assistants might be on social media.
Yeah, or an improperly sourced, or somebody relayed incorrect information. But yes, there were reports that surfaced about Warren Sapp and Terrell Owens, and it just didn't fully add up. I'm curious to see what Deion Sanders looks like and acts like as the coach of an FCS program, because you gotta bootstrap your way to success on the FCS level in terms of how you're recruiting and how you're raising money. And there's a lot to it that for a first time coach on this level, it's gonna be very new. And even like seeing the names that were being used, like Warren Sapp and Terrell Owens, like they're moving to Jackson, Mississippi. Nothing against Jackson, Mississippi, but it seems like they lead a pretty comfortable life right now. And that would right. definitely be a change. So yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch. I sort of have my doubts about the longevity of a decision like this, but, you know, happy to be proven wrong.
Happy to be proven wrong. Any other news that jumped out at you separate from what we're going to cover here in our weekly preview?
We get the Notre Dame Wake Forest postponement. Notre Dame's a pretty big program. I guess we could talk about that more, but we're not previewing a game that's not happening. So that's a bummer. I saw BYU is going to not have fans in the stands for the next couple games because of an increase in COVID risk in Provo. So that all seems to make sense to a dumb brain like mine. I think that's it. I think that's it in terms of what I have that's non-preview.
Let's do it. Let's get into the games.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
All right. Week four.
Yeah, let's just go. Week
Quattro.
Four.
Quattro.
Yeah.
Fear. I don't know how to say it in French. Doesn't really matter. We've got games.
It's sank?
Sank.
Yeah.
Sank. We've got games here organized by time slots.
Quat is four.
Thank you.
No problem.
So what we did the last 2 weeks. We organized by time slot. Actually gave me a little bit of perspective when I try to do my window of opportunity, as you know.
Of course.
I never realized that this was such a point of contention in the Verballerhood.
We got like two messages. It's not that
How
big.
Could you, Ty? How could you say to take the week off?
Yeah, how could you?
Did you watch last week?
I was entertained.
This week's a lot more entertaining, Dan.
There's a lot
more entertaining. So the good news is that we have some options for Home Dog of the Week, really the first time all year. The bad news is that this is a tough week if you are looking for that window, which is why I suggested maybe do it a week early. Don't shoot arrows at me. I'm looking out for everybody. Got the SEC playing for the first time this week. They've done a good job spreading out their own games over the course of the day. I think your best bet is going to be the afternoon games. If you need to get out, if you want to go see cats virtually...
Or you just want to go and view the front of a cat cafe or a pet store or something like that. Those are cats too.
Where were we when we went to the cat cafe? Do you remember that?
Brooklyn, I think. There was
no,
one.
No, it wasn't Brooklyn. Where were we? I think it might have been Austin.
A cat cafe. Oh, it's possible. We've
went
been
to
so many
we
places.
Went to a, I forget where we were. But now that you mentioned cat cafe, I'm reminded of the story where you and I decided we want to go to a diner on a Sunday morning. While we were waiting for our table, we went to a coffee shop next door.
Oh.
And as we go walking in, the guy says, "Hey guys, are you here to see some cats today?"
That was in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
That was right by, I think, Rhea's Bluebird is where we ended up eating brunch or breakfast. And there was a coffee shop that was very cat forward.
"Are you guys here to see some cats today?"
"Are you here to see some cats, brothers?"
Yeah. Very enthusiastically, behind plexiglass, there was just myriad cats.
Yeah, that's right. I did. I totally forgot about that. And I felt like my allergies come on just a little bit afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so why afternoon? Explain yourself.
Well, I'm looking at the slate right now, and it's loaded early, and there are a couple games late that I'm particularly interested in. Not because I think Alabama, Mizzou is going to be that close, and not because I'm all that interested in seeing Florida State Miami. I am interested in it from a number of different perspectives. I just don't think it's going to be close.
Right.
I just think the weakest of the three time slots is that mid afternoon spot. I think we stand to see more blowouts there than anywhere else.
I guess it just depends how much you want to see Tennessee, South Carolina. So it actually seems to me like the night stuff might be where you could just come back for the second half of the night games and see if Miami, Florida State is close. See if that Tennessee, Carolina game is close. But I'm good with the afternoon games. I would watch the afternoon games.
3:30 to 8:00 Eastern, I think, is your window.
See, I would love to watch Mississippi State LSU on CBS. I'd love to watch Army Cincinnati. I'm actually thinking Oklahoma State, West Virginia, depending on Spencer Sanders' situation, because he's in a boot as of today.
He is in a walking boot, yeah.
I think that could be pretty close. So, you know, what does Georgia do at quarterback is interesting. I don't think Arkansas is going to be great, but there is enough intrigue in those mid-afternoon games that I'd rather take an extended, early dinner than I would an afternoon off.
Let's start in the early part of the day.
Okay.
And let's start with the SEC. 12:00 SEC Network. It is Kentucky on the road at Auburn. Auburn, a 10.5 point favorite here. Many are calling it the Joey Gatewood Bowl. I don't think it's stuck yet.
Do we have a decision yet? It has taken so long.
It's the longest.
Yeah.
Joey Gatewood transfers up from Auburn. Still waiting to receive word, at least at time of recording. I know they're expecting it to be sometime this week, but still waiting for word on the waiver request, whether or not he'll be immediately eligible. He's a big kid, plays quarterback. They've already got a quarterback at Kentucky, but I don't think there's any question that Mark Stoops would find a way to work him in. There'd be a Gatewood package, if you will.
I would assume so, yeah.
All right, so I'm on record as of... gosh, I guess a few weeks ago now, when I said that I am more interested in Kentucky than any other SEC East team. There's no Lynn Bowden, but Terry Wilson Jr. is back. Kentucky should be really good along the lines. And I like taking the points here because the opposite is kind of true for Auburn. There are some real questions along that offensive line. They do lose some artillery along the defensive line. And just going off the mantra we had for the first 2 weeks here, take the points. I think I'd take the points here. If it weren't the first game of the year for both teams, I would still take the points. But just given the fact that both teams are coming in, they're going to be rusty. We know that Kentucky's got a lot back. They're good along the lines. They should be good on defense. They've got a veteran quarterback. I don't know if they win outright, but 10.5 is a lot of points in that scenario. So give me the Cats plus the 10.5.
It's a lot of points. I think I like the points as well. The best thing in this game is very obviously Auburn's defense, even with what they've lost, just because the track record is now pretty vast under Kevin Steele these past few years. So they've earned the benefit of the doubt more than any other unit on the field. But Terry Wilson did, when he played all of 2018. He did play better on the road than he did at home. And Auburn, with new offensive coordinator, as you mentioned, that basically new full-time starting offensive line. I know their center started 4 or 5 games last year, but this is, it's a new look unit. And offensively, with a new coordinator, with I think at best uneven quarterback in Bo Nix as of now, I appreciate the overall expectation that I have of Kentucky to at least keep this one competitive for a good amount of time. That if they lose, it's, you know, a 3-7 point weird opening week loss. I don't see Auburn as a team ready to blow another team out, but happy to be wrong. I'm going to take those points as well. I'm going to take those points. The, what do you say? Plus 10.5?
10.5.
Happily. Yeah. Give me Kentucky on the road. 18-13, 21-12, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if Kentucky's going to win this game, if they're going to cover the spread, they're going to have to do it with defense. I have real questions about their offense,
Sure. Frankly,
going up against Auburn's defense. I do like their line. I like their ground game, what they've got coming back. But who is Terry Wilson throwing to? What does he look like after a year absent? I don't know. A lot of questions there. I do think they have the defense to keep it close. And I think we agree.
We agree. And even last year, without Terry Wilson, you know, they were competitive early on, even before they went to that Lynn Bowden Jr. offense. So this is a well-coached, creative, deeper than they've been team. It's hard for me to see a Kentucky win. But if it's happening, it's like a 13-10 type weird game. So, yeah, I'm going to take those points.
High noon ESPN, another SEC game, Dan. We're flush with SEC contests.
Yep.
We're flush with SEC contests here at high noon. Florida minus 14 at Ole Miss. I like Florida a lot. They're my pick to win the East. Their schedule, about as good as you're going to get when you're playing a conference slate in the SEC. The defense is there. We know Dan Mullen's got his quarterback and Kyle Trask. Talked ad nauseum about how Trask is probably the best returning starter in the SEC. They're the better team, but they've got Lane Kiffin on the menu. Game is in Oxford, Dan. Are you feeling home dog of the week here?
I haven't even seen who's starting this game for Ole Miss. Is it John Rhys Plumlee or is it Matt Corral?
I just assumed it was John Rhys Plumlee. I have no idea.
The last I'd heard was that reports were Matt Corral was ahead. We'll see, I suppose. I was pretty comfortable with everything new happening in Oxford to go with Florida, but I anticipate at least competence from the Ole Miss offense. The defense took a really nice step forward last year under Mike McIntyre. It's in Oxford. This is, of course, you remember 2008 was the Tebow speech game following the Florida loss to Ole Miss. They've only played once since then. I think it was 2015. So not a matchup I feel particularly good about, given there's no recent data between any of these players. And then I saw what Ole Miss would be wearing. That icy blue look. The icy blue look. And call me crazy. Call me superficial.
Yeah. Huge uniform guy over there.
Look good. Feel good, play good, Ty. I think Ole Miss covers this spread. Florida was not a team. I know they had the Tennessee game last year, but they were not a team who necessarily blew out average competition in the SEC. Average competition. They were very good against lower level competition. But if we are to believe that Ole Miss at least has the ceiling of being average, given Jerry and Ely and Elijah Moore on offense and how good they looked at times, especially as they opened up the year last year on defense against a very good Memphis offense, I'm going to say Ole Miss hangs around. They lose this game something like, and you remember the Florida weird start with Felipe Franks getting hurt last year against Miami. Let's call it, I don't know, 27-17 Gators on the road.
Are you doing home dog of the week?
I mean, I try to do home dog of the week when it's a team that I think can win outright as a home.
So you don't
dog.
Think they could win? You're not comfortable.
No, I like them as a hang around squad though.
I like Florida. I think I like Florida to pull away. Wouldn't surprise me if it were close for 2.5 quarters. I think Florida pulls away. They're the better team here.
The specific matchup is okay because Ole Miss was better against, I believe, the pass last year than the run. It's a different team. It's a different defense. But you'd like to be better against the pass versus Florida, who did struggle to move the ball on the ground last year.
By the way, this level of analysis, picking Ole Miss plus the points because of uniform, is something you can only find here on the Solid.
I see
moving
blue.
On. High Noon ACC Network. Louisville on the road at Pitt. Pitt's about a 3-point favorite, Dan.
Why are you acting surprised? That's my question to you.
This just, it feels weird to me. It feels like a game where our friends in the desert know something the rest of us don't.
That the best unit on the field is the Pitt defense?
I was going to ask you, what's the best unit on the field?
It's the Pitt defense.
Louisville's offense or Pitt's defense?
It's Pitt's defense. It's Pitt's defense, especially because early on last year, and this is more of a coach thing than a player thing, and Pitt's missing, I mean, pretty arguably their best player on defense in Jalen Twyman, but what they did to UCF early last year, Pitt was not a team who lost to similar competition. I know they lost to, I think, Boston College at the end of the year, but otherwise they were competitive, and the worst unit on the field is they're playing against each other, right? The Louisville defense.
Correct.
And the Pitt offense. So I'm going to give the edge to what looks like a really strong defense at home, not giving that many points. It feels super trappy because we've already seen Louisville on a quote unquote big stage taking on Miami last week. But it's a weird year stage wise because of the conferences not playing. So I part of me thinks Louisville's just artificially inflated at this point because their defense gives up so much that to take them on the road as an underdog, I'm going to need something. I'm going to need a little bit more push from that unit. And I don't see it. So I will happily give Pitt the edge here to win by a touchdown.
Push by the unit. Got it.
Push by the unit.
I like Pitt, but I'll be honest. I do not trust Pitt.
That's fine.
I do not trust Pitt. This feels like the kind of game where Louisville's going to cover because Pitt misses an extra point. Or they do something stupid.
Yeah, they had the 2 missed field goals last week, for sure. Or 3, yeah.
I have been all in on Louisville until last week when I picked Miami outright.
Right.
But I am not ready to cash out my Louisville chips at this point in time. I am going to take Louisville outright here. I am not ready to give up on Malik Cunningham. And I'm not ready to commit to the Pitt bit. But if Pitt can emerge from this one, then we're cooking with gas. Then I will come here on Sunday, hard in my hand, and I will say, please, Pitt Universe, absolve me of my sins.
Last year, Pitt, early on in the season, they had the ugly loss to Virginia, but then Ohio, Penn State, they had a chance at the end of that game. UCF, they beat by 1. They beat Duke. They beat the very dangerous Delaware football squad.
Blue Hens.
But I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be a market adjustment about Louisville expectations right now. It felt trappy. That was my first, when I looked at this spread,
right.
It felt
100%.
Trappy. And so then I just 100%. Go the opposite way of my generally incorrect instincts.
Second game in a row, by the way, where we're talking about a baby blue boost.
Is it baby? Is it baby blue? I don't know the official shade. And I can't trust you with shades either, Ty. So
no,
I can't do much here.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, and final game here that we'll cover in some depth, at least in the early slot, 130 FS1. It's Iowa State -3 on the road at TCU. This is either going to be a really fun game or just terrible and boring. I kind of don't think there is any in between. It's not just going to be like a decent game that one team wins by 8. I think it's either going to be really close and a ton of fun, or just stupid and defensive and wake me up when it's over.
I went on a lot of first dates with that nearly identical mindset. It's going to be a great night or it's going to be tremendously bad.
Am I crazy for wanting to go all in on Iowa State?
Yes. Only if you watch them play.
Only if I watch Louisiana. They're coming off a loss. They're going against a walk-on transfer and a team playing its first game. Why am I crazy?
TCU plays special teams, which is already an advantage. You're not crazy because the Frogs lost by, what, 25 to Iowa State, and they were the cure for the common September for the Clones. That was last year.
That was last year.
That was last year. They've lost 2 of 3 to Iowa State, so that's something. Those games were both in Ames. If you remember the 2017 game, TCU scored precisely 0 offensive touchdowns. There was the Kevontae Turpin long kick return was the lone score. Can it be any different than... I mean, we're talking about a 29-point swing, potentially, with the spread. So that's starting a transfer walk-on at home behind a basically new offensive line. Maybe that's the reboot needed for TCU. I call them the underfrogs, Ty.
But now, hold on.
Yeah.
You are implying that teams can't come back from a big defeat one year and win the next.
I am not implying that at all, because there is something to like about this TCU defense that we haven't seen being the best unit on the field, because we've seen the Iowa State defense look pretty good. We've seen the Iowa State offense look kind of wretched. So I'm mixed. I actually have TCU winning by 4 points at home, because I'm going to go by my standby of what we assume to be, having not seen it, but assume to be a pretty good defense at home as underfrogs. So I have TCU winning this one by 4, you know, walk on transfer quarterback or not. So I'm ready.
I'm going to go Iowa State. I don't particularly like going road favorites, but by virtue of this selection, does this mean that you do have your home dog of the week in TCU?
Indeed I do. Give me the Frogs.
Yakko's home dog of the week.
Frog is
Yakko's
a tough
not a sponsor.
It's a tough noise to teach a toddler. The ribbit. That's a tough one.
The ribbit. Yeah. R's are hard.
The R's are very tough.
Yeah. I'm going to go Iowa State here again. Walk on transfer. Doesn't have a great ring to it. Of course, I say that and I'll bring Max Duggan in second drive, but
yeah, obviously.
Let's go Iowa State.
Yep.
All right, to round out the other 4 games here that I've got listed in the 12 o'clock hour, we got some action in the Big 12. K-State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma, 28.5-point favorite. We've got Texas on the road at 18-point favorite at Texas Tech. Both schools are huge favorites in their respective games. I would expect that we see a little bit of a better performance out of K-State, but tough to say how much going up against a team like Oklahoma that we know has so much firepower on offense. And then on the Texas side, look, we're fans of British comedy legend Alan Bowman, but Tech didn't exactly instill confidence struggling in game one against Houston Baptist, did they?
No, that was not necessarily Alan Bowman's fault, but he certainly looked off in their first game. That was more on the defense, those numbers that, you know, were constantly put on the Raiders. So first of all, if we're going to start with the Oklahoma-Kansas State game, I'm actually going to take those points. I think Kansas State won't look as pushed around. I mean, the Oklahoma offense is certainly better than the Arkansas State offense, but Kansas State has had a couple weeks to make some tweaks and update things and get a little more comfortable. And this is a revenge spot for Oklahoma after losing this game last year, but nobody that's creating lines has a full sense for Spencer Rattler after Missouri State. So in his first Big 12 game, I think Oklahoma is going to win comfortably. I have this as like 45-21, and maybe it's a backdoor cover like situation, but Kansas State has a multi-year starter at quarterback who at the very least is decent. He looked decent in his one game against Arkansas State. He has beaten this team. I don't think Kansas State has the weapons to hang with Oklahoma on the scoreboard, but this is a definite power 5 talent laden squad. So yeah, I think 28.5 is probably a little too many points. And I love Texas big. I do love I like Texas big too.
Yeah.
I like Texas by about 28 here against Tech.
Other action very quickly in that noon hour. UCF, about a 4-touchdown favorite at ECU, and Georgia Tech, 7-point favorite on the road at Syracuse.
It's going to be a rough offensive watch if you are invested in Georgia Tech, Syracuse. I would keep it, keep the volume down. Don't, you don't want to get anybody freaked out. You're watching this. You're choosing to watch this. UCF minus 25 against East Carolina. ECU hasn't played a game. The game against Marshall was, I believe, was postponed, if not canceled. So this is their first action on the season. It's at home for the Pirates. UCF maybe in a letdown spot. Not that Georgia Tech needed a whole lot of emotion to get up for, but that was their one Power 5 game. I'm just going to go UCF. The firepower is pretty vast.
Let me read through the games in the mid-afternoon.
Okay.
And then we can dissect. Two SEC games, one at 3:30, one at 4. On CBS at 3:30, it is the debut of one Mike Leach at Mississippi State with his new starting quarterback, KJ Costello. He's going to be on the road at LSU, defending national champion LSU Tigers. They are a 17-point home favorite with Miles Brennan named officially as your starting quarterback, taking over for Joe Burrow. And then at 4 o'clock on SEC Network, we've got Georgia minus 24.5 on the road at Arkansas. The question, as you said at the top, is will JT Daniels be cleared, or is Georgia going to go with DeJuan Mathis? Instead, JT Daniels, of course, transfers over, but did have the injury that kept him out for a large chunk of the season last year.
Right.
We've also got games between Arby and Cincinnati. Both teams ranked, actually, but Cincinnati is a home favorite of about 14 points. We've got Duke at Virginia. Virginia's a 5-point home favorite. It'll be good to see what they can do after a few weeks of postponements. And then finally, West Virginia at Oklahoma State, a game that you said you're interested in.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State about an 8.5-point favorite here. It is notable because of that Spencer Sanders injury from a week ago. Remember, they just barely won the football game, largely on the backs of their just awesome defense.
Mm-hmm.
We will see what happens with Spencer Sanders. He was in the boot earlier today. He was due for a re-evaluation at some point. We have not seen news on that before we hit the record button. So if we have any other updates, we'll share them either on the podcast or at some point on social media. But any games there?
I love the level of detail. You've been paying attention to Spencer Sanders in the boot. Boot Watch 2020. I was not expecting
that. Boot Watch 2020. I'm ready.
If you remember, Oklahoma State needed a late comeback win starting Drew Brown at quarterback to beat West Virginia for the injured Sanders last year. Drew Brown no longer playing for Oklahoma State. West Virginia handled Chuba Hubbard actually pretty well last year, and Jared Daigie played pretty well for the Mountaineers. This time it's in Stillwater. I'm going to go Oklahoma State here. I am curious about what happens with the boot, and they're certainly a different team. But at home with West Virginia, I don't know. I don't fully trust West Virginia yet. I think it's actually going to be close for a while, but Oklahoma State figures out a way, knowing that they might have to be starting somebody else where they didn't last week. I'm going to take the Pokes by like 13. Army-Cincinnati, that's tricky. I'm going to go Cincinnati here.
Yeah, I think you got to go Cincinnati and my boy Desmond Ritter.
I hate taking Cincinnati, but I'm going to go Cincinnati here because you're either banking on Army turning this game into a slow ground war, which is entirely possible, or Cincinnati just figuring out with their own defense how to get stops. The thing that concerns me was Army was amazing last year, as they are most years when they're pretty good, at generating third and shorts, and Cincinnati allowed too many third and shorts, and Army, of course, pretty difficult to stop with that offense if it's just a third and one, third and two, whatever, given their literal options. So that's something I'd pay attention to, is Cincinnati can generate third and sevens instead of third and ones. We'll see. But yeah, I think the firepower Cincinnati potentially could have on offense is a difference maker. I like Georgia enormously, no matter who starts at quarterback.
I think Georgia is going to blow the doors off Arkansas.
Yeah.
Georgia, again, is switching up to a new offensive system that should hopefully be a little bit more vertical, hopefully for their sake.
Sure.
Because the offense in its previous state was, you know, a little bit stale, a little bit more dink and dunk They're trying to stretch the field. That was part of the excitement with bringing Jamie Newman over. We'll see if it's JT Daniels or DeJuan Mathis. Whoever it is, I would expect that they're going to have a lot of success in this football game. I guess the more interesting story could be DeJuan Mathis getting the start, playing really well, and then having a bit of a controversy as to whether or not he's going to get the go or JT Daniels once he's cleared. But in any case, we both like the Dogs here. The game that I am most interested in, though, is that Mississippi State LSU game.
For sure.
LSU defending national champion, but lost a lot to the NFL. We had Ja'Marr Chase opt out. So there's just a lot going on there. Joe Brady goes to the Panthers. Like, it is a much, much different team. Still a ton of talent, but starting over in so many spots that I am very curious to see what that Leach air raid system with, I think, a relatively steady hand in KJ Costello can do against a good team in week one. So I am inclined to go points here, even though the matchup isn't the best, even though there's a lot working against Mississippi State. Feels to me like this is a game that, just given the nature of the system, the nature of the turnover at LSU, they could keep reasonably close here within that 17.
I think you're burying the lead, and that is we get a Mike Leach versus Bo Pelini chess match here. We have Mike Leach, Bo Pelini. 17 points is certainly a lot of points. We don't know what to expect out of KJ Costello's health. He was named starter or co-starter, but he is starting this game. They really struggled in the passing game last year and last couple of years at times under Joe Moorhead. So I anticipate improvement there. The defense, a new look, 3-3-5, 4-2-5 type hybrid situation. That San Diego State type system, the Rocky Long, whatever. What degree, if Miles Brennan is as good as he can be, if he reaches his ceiling, not knowing what that ceiling is, what is the most reasonable percentile that LSU can get to what they were as compared to last season? Like, if Miles Brennan is like the best Miles Brennan possible,
right?
Can they be 70% of what they were last year?
70 or 80%.
Okay. If he is absolutely the real deal and is comfortable and is an assassin to whatever degree, because we didn't see Joe Burrow happening. We thought Joe Burrow was fine and was a playmaker at times, but we definitely didn't see it all coming together. I will raise my hand. I will run to the front of the line. I didn't see it happening. Yeah. So I don't see it with Miles Brennan, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. The talent's going to be there. And I don't know if we talked about this on the preview show. I think we did. Eric Gilbert, the true freshman sort of hybrid tight end receiver. I think he was already named a starter. And they have dudes in that receiving core. They have tight ends. And he was named a starter as a true freshman. That might be an incredibly special player starting from this week. So there are reasons to believe in LSU being really good once again. I don't know if it happens this week. So I'm going to take those points. I think LSU wins this game by a couple touchdowns, but 17-18, LSU won by 23 last year. I'm going to take the points, but this game is the most fascinating game to me of the day.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see which direction this one goes, even though it's sort of in my window. you know, I'm going to be watching anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So. What difference does it make? All right, let's shift then to the evening slate.
And I have no thoughts about Duke, Virginia.
No, I don't
Virginia
either.
Virginia won other by 34 last year, yeah.
Other than the fact that the game exists, we'll just sort of leave it there.
I hope Virginia finds a replacement for Bryce Perkins. I know people seem to be optimistic in Charlottesville if that's the case, but I haven't enjoyed watching Duke football these past couple weeks. So hopefully Virginia is able to get out of the gate impressively.
Finally, we've got 7 games here. Just to rifle through.
Okay.
I will start, though, with my lock of the week.
Oh.
Lock of the week.
I teased it last week. I thought long and hard about it. I still can't talk myself out of Tennessee -3 at South Carolina.
Okay.
I don't generally like to lock up road teams, but I kind of think South Carolina is going to be a nightmare this season, Dan.
You're not into Mike Bobo?
I'm not.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm not into Mike Bobo. I'm not into Will Muschamp. I'm just not into this team at all. 3 points. Again, Tennessee week one has never really been a winning proposition. Not recently, right?
Right.
But this is a team that brings so much back. They should be much, much improved. I really like Tennessee this week. 3-point line on the road. I think they'll be fired up and ready to go. So Tennessee -3 is my lock.
What's the bigger mismatch? The Tennessee defense against the South Carolina offense or the Tennessee offense against the South Carolina defense? Where is your confidence lying with this one?
I know that they brought in a new offensive coordinator in South Carolina to revamp things.
Bobo.
I have more confidence in the Tennessee defense. I don't know. I mean, I know what Mike Bobo's offense looks like.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it's going to take in week one against what I think should be a pretty good defense.
I think that's all reasonable. South Carolina finished the year scoring 3 points against Clemson, 6 points against Texas A&M, 15 points against App State, and they did beat Vandy and lost to South Carolina by 20 points last season. That broke a 3-year losing streak by Tennessee to South Carolina. So I think I'm on board with Tennessee being the better team, and given the strange times and it's not going to be a home field advantage in the traditional way for South Carolina.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee, but not confidently, just because Tennessee has had their own health issues with the pandemic these past few weeks. And it's hard to gauge. It's hard to adjust for that. But week one is always just that, propensity for a clunker week. So I'm taking Tennessee unenthusiastically.
I like the fact that this defense was young a year ago and came on like a freight train in the second half of the year.
Right.
Really encouraged by the way they closed out the season. And, we talk about Mike Bobo and Will Muschamp trying to change offense at South Carolina. This is going to be year two of Jim Chaney, offensive consultant at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so I think the combination of a good line with maybe a bit of a year two bump, that offense should hopefully get more out of the ground game, give Jared Garantano a little bit more support. I really like Tennessee this year. Not saying they win the SEC, but I think this is going to be a team that's improved, and I'm just going to lock them up -3. Not even going to think twice.
So not a sandstorm Saturday for you.
Not a sandstorm Saturday.
Okay. I think I agree. I think the mismatch is the Tennessee defense should be in a very good place against South Carolina offense. All right.
There is a rivalry game.
South Carolina.
A rivalry game in the state of Florida at 7:30 on ABC. It's Florida State at Miami. The Canes are -11 here. We talked on our last show about Mike Norvell not coaching this game because he tested positive for COVID. So reports are, at least in the early going here, that the preparation for the game is going fine. Florida State's not really concerned about that part of it. I'm more concerned about their offense, Dan.
Yeah.
Against a really good Miami defense. First and foremost, is there any letdown effect? Any letdown effect at all after a really big road win at Louisville a week ago?
It depends how big you think the win actually was. That was the headline game because of not having other big games last week. But it's hard to say that Miami is going to be let down and just reliving the glory of Jose Borregales and his 56-yarder when... Is there a game that Miami treasures more than the opportunity to beat down on Florida State?
And Florida State, exactly.
So I letdown spot doesn't feel right. I have this as 30-17 Miami. Just the mismatch of Florida State's offensive line trying to hold back the floodgates that makes up the Miami defensive line, and how much and how consistently they get after the quarterback, especially on the edge. I think it's going to be a long day. This was a 17-point Florida State loss last year. That was an Alex Hornibrook game, for those keeping score. An Alex Hornibrook joint. Stars don't seem aligning for me. Miami at home as favorites. Feeling energized, feeling confident after last week. So, yeah, I think Miami wins this one easily by double digits.
I like Miami -11.
Also, that Georgia Tech loss hasn't aged particularly well already.
No, it's true.
Already? It's been true. A week and a half.
Let me throw this out here, though. Not intending to throw cold water on the Miami pick, because I'm with you.
Yeah.
But yes or no, this is the best defense that Miami will have seen to date.
UAB did a really nice job against Miami's attempts to throw the ball. I know that's very specific.
Are you
going to
take UAB's defense over Florida State's defense?
I may have to think about it. It's a more talented Florida State defense. But okay. In terms of buying an actual, I mean, Florida State couldn't get a push against Georgia Tech.
It's a fair point. I'm just saying, I think this will be more of a test.
I like
for
the
Miami.
Secondary of Florida State, but Miami can run the ball straight at the Noles.
Different matchup. I like Miami.
Okay.
But I do think Florida State here poses a different challenge.
Okay.
If nothing else, we'll get another look at Miami. Miami's one of the teams I think that we know the most about through 2 weeks.
UAB so finished
this
with...
will give us more data.
UAB finished with the number 28 S&P Plus defense last season. Last season. Not this season.
Number, it's a good defense.
The number two most efficient defense in the nation, UAB. They were good against the run. They were... I think fine against the pass. Florida State, the numbers take a dive, Ty. The numbers take a dive from there.
I know.
Florida State was pretty good against the run, but only okay against the pass. So that was my hesitation, but I think you're right here.
And then finally, before we rifle through a few other games.
Yeah.
7 p.m. ESPN, Alabama, minus 28 on the road at Missouri. Nick Saban made it official, Daniel.
What do you make official?
This year will be the return of the Mac.
How dare you? And you didn't have music ready either.
I listened to Return of the Mac just to get
once
psyched
again
up for the show.
Okay.
Mac Jones, you're going to be your starting quarterback. He's a redshirt junior. He won the starting job. Not a huge surprise. Obviously saw a lot of time last year after Tua got hurt, started four games, and certainly did not look like your usual college backup. From October the 25th on, he was actually the second highest rated quarterback in the nation behind Joey Burrow. So Joey, as Mizzou enters into its own 2020 campaign, they thought they were going to be down about a dozen guys. They won't be down quite a dozen guys, but still out a few. I really like Alabama here. I don't know. I like Missouri's defense. I like that the staff is back, but they are kind of starting over in many respects. Don't know what to expect out of year one. And certainly in week one against Alabama, I think you got to be mindful here of what reasonable actually is.
Yeah, Alabama minus anything right now. 45-14 tied. Nick Saban something like 10-1, 11-1 against the spread in opener since he arrived in Tuscaloosa. He has teams ready to play. Taking the Tide.
Very quickly, some other games. 8 o'clock, ACC Network, NC State at Virginia Tech. It'll be good to see the Hokes out there, see what they bring to the 2020 campaign. 7-point favorite. We've got Texas State at the Jerky Boys in Boston College. They're an 18-point home favorite. We got Vandy at Texas A&M. The Aggies, a 31-point home favorite. No surprise there. And also at 7:30, ESPNU, it is Kansas at Baylor. Baylor minus 16. I would be sort of inclined to go Baylor minus the 16 there.
Okay.
Even though I'm not a huge Baylor fan, sort of inclined.
Yeah, Kansas, I mean, it's never dumb to take a big spread and give those points against Kansas. I don't know if you have a specific reason for that case beyond Kansas is Kansas, but Baylor, new look in a lot of places.
I expected the line to be higher.
Okay.
Truly. I thought it would be much higher. And what has Kansas given us to make us feel like they're within 16 of Baylor?
That's fair. All right. I'll take Baylor to win by 3 touchdowns. Texas A&M down what looked to be their number one receiver, still 30-point favorites against Vandy. Go A&M. I don't have a reason. I need a reason with Vandy, and I don't have it. So Virginia Tech, I'm a little bit skittish just because they haven't been able to get on the field and they're missing dudes. But Bailey Hawkman and NC State. It's not moving the needle for me. I think Virginia Tech's probably going to cover that, and unless they're missing a ton of key dudes at key places. NC State seemed to have some fight last week, so I'd probably stay away from that given the circumstances, but I think that's how it would round out the night action.
All righty. Any other games here that jump out to you, Dan?
These are the ones you have listed here. I can go through. I trust you, Ty. Did you miss any?
I think I may have missed some of the non-Power 5 action.
What? Okay, I'm going to go through here just in case. And I assume you have the Colonial League spreads right in front of you.
We do have the Colonial League spreads, yeah, of course.
A lot of controversy there. Troy, BYU? Is that doing anything for you?
BYU's got some guys who have COVID, right?
BYU Provo has a COVID situation, and so they're not.
Okay.
BYU has, I think there was a gambling party. Zach Wilson, the quarterback, was involved, and a number of players
got
it.
There.
So that might have been part of it. Georgia Southern Louisiana is interesting. Louisiana, top 20 team right now. You mentioned, and we mentioned, UCF South Carolina. I'm rooting for the Campbell Camels, even though they're playing against my beloved App State Mountaineers, just because Campbell's a new college football team. They've only existed for like 3 years. FIU Liberty is somewhat interesting to me. Liberty pulled the upset last week as underdogs. Beyond that, I am hoping for good things from Lane Hatcher and Arkansas State, because I really liked watching him last year and how they opened up the season. Houston, North Texas, hopefully that can happen after Houston had the Baylor game postponed or canceled last week. We have Sugar Shane Bushell, who should put up huge numbers against Stephen F. Austin. I think that's it. That's as far as I can take my interest level right now.
That's all we have for College Football Week 4, Dan. We would encourage everyone to call the Reverb line at 408-VERBAL-1. It's 408-837-2251. Please do call. We've got a new fan base that's going to be joining us now as the SEC begins play. It's always fun to get as many messages as possible. We love listening to it just as much as you love calling in and giving us your real-time feedback on these games. So as per usual, call in, leave us a message, and then check back on Sunday to hear if our boy Ryan has included you in the final mix.
Tasty.
Of Reverbs.
Can I interject something? I want to apologize and honor something if I have the opportunity.
Sure.
We had a request a couple weeks ago that I forgot to fulfill, and I feel terrible.
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about here?
No, I have no idea.
It came in from the girlfriend, I believe. I don't want to get the titling wrong. The girlfriend of a listener, a super fan. They just celebrated their year-long anniversary, and I generally don't love doing these things, but when I hear somebody super into the show, that's a weak spot of mine. So happy anniversary, Ty. To Danny Irving and Monica. Super fan, super verballer, Danny Irving.
That's huge. That's huge.
I also love that name. A year's a long time, Ty. I mean, you've told so many stories on this show about your wandering eyes. You can't last a year. So Danny Irving and Monica, I feel like, are power couple. Is that too strong a word to say?
If it's been 1 year, no, I don't think so at all.
All right. I'm a big proponent of GLAC, Ty. Let's give love a chance. And it feels like Danny Irving and Monica are giving love a chance. So congrats to them.
Alrighty. There you go. Congratulations. Danny, congratulations, Monica.
Yeah, that's a strong name, Danny Irving.
All right.
That's all. That's all I have, Ty. I am going to enjoy my weekend. I'm going to make some more salsa up because that's what I do on Saturdays now. I got a car because I live in the burbs. Got a friggin'
Suburban
SUV,
dad.
Ty.
Suburban dad.
Woo! It's a new Dan.
All right. Well, we thank everyone for tuning in. Oh, one more thing, Dan.
I'm ready.
I'm going to drop that pulsating, that quivering.
Undulating?
That scintillating.
Scintillating. Fife.
Let's go to Friday Night Lights, Dan! Catasauqua at Palmerton, the Rough Riders, the hated Rough Riders in the Colonial League of Eastern Pennsylvania High School Football, squaring off against the Palmerton Blue Bombers, this one in Palmerton, Dan. Who you got?
Oh, I'm going Blue Bombers every day, all day. Shout out Winnipeg.
Definitely not Winnipeg, but give me the Palmerton Blue Bombers as well.
Next.
Also, Friday night, Salisbury on the road at Notre Dame Green Pond. Different Notre Dame, but the only Notre Dame playing this weekend. Give me Notre Dame.
One of probably many high school Notre Dames, but the only Notre Dame in Pennsylvania. I'm going to go Notre Dame as well. I feel good about the whatever they are. What's their nickname?
I don't know. I have to look that one
good.
Up. Also on Friday.
Go Damies.
Northwestern.
Yeah.
On the road at Bangor. It is Bangor. It is not Bangor.
Bangor.
The hometown of Julie the Cat Gaffney from Mighty Ducks. Different town. Different team. Give me Northwestern.
Give me Bangor.
Give me the Tigers.
Oh, give me Bangor. Hardly know her. Moon next pick.
And finally, this game being featured live on Blue Ridge Cable Channel 113 and also on Service Electric.
Oh, my God. Game of the week?
Game of the week, 902. It is Palisades. It is Northern Lehigh, Dan.
I refuse to pick any team that includes the word Lehigh. And there's a Palisades where I'm from. I believe that's where Jeff Schwartz went to high school. Pally High. So give me Palisades.
I'm also going to go Palisades.
Nice. We agree.
We got a few listeners who wrote in and said that they went to Palisades.
We ride, Ty. We ride.
I was short on a voice even before we hit the record button tonight.
Okay. And now?
I'm out of gas now. I am out of gas. I left it all in the field. Talking Colonial League, talking SEC, getting back in. We are cooking with gas here on this Supersize Saturday.
Okay. I am very excited for this Saturday, and I hope you are too, Ty.
Thank you, Daniel.
Okay, that's it. I am done talking.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for downloading, for listening. Follow along on social media. Subscribe to the show. Also, subscribe to all of our social feeds on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course, now on YouTube at youtube.com/TheSolidVerbal. Need the V.
Keep going. Dan. Keep going.
Solid Verbal.
No, smash.reddit.com. And tickle.
Oh. Tickle the like button.
Thank you. I would say tickle the bell notifications, but yeah, that too. That's all I have. Ty, let's get out of here. And really, I hope that Danny Irving and Monica have, like, I hope it hasn't gone south since their anniversary because we didn't get to it.
We have not gotten an update from anybody on that.
Okay, good. All right.
For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, we'll catch you all in a few days. In the meantime, thanks for listening and stay solid.
Peace.